It's been thousands of miles I've roamed, and all I'm left with is this dark as my home. Oh yes, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide erode away. Oh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, yeah, wasting time. Yes, I am. I'm on the dock of the bay. Wasting time, sitting on the dock of the bay. Wasting time, yeah, on the dock of the bay. Just wasting time.
Laser Lloyd with the old Otis Redding classic, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Laser Lloyd, Israeli artist, and that was recorded in Tel Aviv. Bruce Hornsby on Undercurrents with Sidelines, and remembering Janis Joplin with Cry Baby from Pearl. Hey, it's Undercurrents. I'm Greg McVicker, back with Andrew Bird in just a minute.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Saddle up and ride with country music in your head from 6 till 9 every Saturday morning on KBOO's Swingin' Country. You can count on Swingin' Country's stable of rotating hosts to fill your early morning with country, alternative country, western, western swing, and even some rockabilly, bluegrass, and Americana tunes. Swingin' Country on KBOO is mighty fine, Saturday morning, 6 to 9.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Today, we're going to talk about marijuana and the benefits of cannabis therapy. The benefits are multifold, but they are still relatively unknown, as this new book clearly demonstrates. On the other hand, there are a lot of myths and confusions around cannabis, which stem from its history of persecution and propaganda. Looking at cannabis as a whole plant medicine, the book we're discussing today examines the many healing components in the plant and outlines how to develop a personal cannabis therapy plan for yourself or others. Our guest today is Wendy Reed, author of the new book, Cannabis Therapy, A Complete Guide. Wendy is a certified herbalist, holistic massage therapist, and plant spirit healing practitioner with a bachelor's degree in biochemistry, who has studied with herbalists and shamanic healers from around the world. Since 2005, she has taught at Motherland Sanctuary and many other herbal schools and symposiums, including her own school, the California Healing Institute. She is a spiritual counselor and the founding minister of the Caretaker's Garden, where she also runs a holistic family practice. She has cultivated and made medicine from marijuana and hundreds of different medicinal herbs for the past 20 years, has led a pagan church, and maintained a holistic clinical practice for 15 years. Wendy lives in Northern California in a very special place called the Emerald Triangle. Hello, Wendy, and welcome to the Pathways Show.
Hey, I'm excited to be here.
Well, let's start by asking, who is your wonderfully informative book Cannabis Therapy intended for?
Well, it's intended for a couple of different audiences, as it turns out. So I've taught for years, and it's intended for students. It's intended for dispensary workers, because I've found that now that marijuana is offered mostly in dispensaries, that those workers are on the front lines of answering health questions, which they're unprepared to do. And then lastly, it's written for medical professionals. So it has all the latest research in there and all the latest descriptions of pharmaceutical and cannabis interactions, so that any medical professional, be they a body worker or a physical therapist or an oncologist, et cetera, can take away an understanding of how cannabis interacts with the endocannabinoid system and interacts with whatever medical specialty they practice.
So there's, you're solving a problem. And the problem is that even since marijuana has become medically legal in many places and recreational legal in a lot of states, there's still an incredible amount of ignorance about it in the medical establishment. The doctors don't know diddly squat, seems.
Yeah, although, I mean, THC was discovered in the 60s and the endocannabinoid system was discovered in the early 90s, you still will not, and it's, I mean, it turned neurobiology on its head to find this system that interacts that way, that basically regulates every other system in our body and every other system in every animal's body. And yet still you won't find any discussion of the endocannabinoid system in any medical school or any nurse training or anything like that. Just like you still don't find much about nutrition and other holistic aspects of healing. That system, the education of doctors is a little bit archaic and it has not caught up yet. And so that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, is because, you know, the doctors are basically victims of the system, just like sometimes we are. And this gives them an opportunity to catch up outside of what's offered in the traditional system.
Well, you know, we tend to assume that doctors know more than they do, just across the board. And it's amazing to me that the level of ignorance, and it's nobody's fault, but the level of ignorance or what the unknown is so much vaster than what we think we know. And so I'm so happy that you're doing this research and reporting on this. Medical schools don't teach about the endocannabinoid system. Okay, tell us, why is the, you know, one might assume that doctors are godlike and so they're not doing this because it's not important. So why is the endocannabinoid system important? How does it rank compared to other systems?
Well, to truly understand the endocannabinoid system, we kind of have to look at the history of its evolution. So we have to go way, way back, about 34 million years ago, when life was in the form of single-celled organisms floating around in Mother Ocean. And those organisms, although they appeared to be self-contained, actually, like us, were a little bit dependent on community to survive. So they were communicating with each other. And the way they communicated was to pass on, they would emit little packets, chemical packets of information, and another cell would reach out a receptor, bring that communication into the cell, and receive it that way. So eventually the cells started hanging out together, and they realized there was evolutionary advantage in that. You know, the cells the very outside of the raft of cells floating together would take in nutrients, and those inside would be more protected from, you know, viruses and other predators floating around. And they put a skin around themselves and became a multi-celled organism. And yet still, they were sending out packets of information to each other to communicate. And those packets of information were actually cannabinoids. So the very first cannabinoids developed 34 million years ago as a method of a complex physical system or a simple system to communicate with itself and to regulate all of its other systems. So within us now, we have this endocannabinoid system that receives, we make our own cannabinoids called endocannabinoids. One is called anandamide. which is Sanskrit for bliss. And that was named by Dr. Mashum from Israel. He had a deep understanding of how this system worked, hence the name. And there are many other endocannabinoids that have been discovered because doctors wanted to know, why do we have this system that takes in a plant chemical? And it turns out, well, we're producing our own endocannabinoids. And what they do is they regulate every other system in our body, from digestion to reproduction to respiration, and on and on. In addition to other...
Would you categorize an endocannabinoid as a neurotransmitter?
They're often called neurotransmitters, yes, but they're technically different. They actually regulate neurotransmitters.
How is it that we never knew we had it until the 1990s, when we've known about other neurotransmitters like serotonin or dopamine?
Well, it's interesting. In the 70s, scientists wanted to figure out why the opium poppy reacted with our system so well. So they kind of created a synthetic opium molecule, and they dyed it with a color, and they sent it through the system to see where the opiates were being taken in. And they discovered that we have an opioid receptor system within us. And then they said, well, why would we have that for this plant chemical? So with further study, they realized, oh, we actually produce our own opioids, and they named them endorphins, endo meaning inner produced or produced internally. So we have an endorphin system that is supplemented and augmented by a plant named opium. Right. So they kind of went the same route with cannabis, and they said, well, we have this system that's amazingly augmented by cannabis. Let's figure out where it is. And so they assumed it was just going to be in the brain, because everybody knows that cannabis gets you high. But what they discovered was, no, it was actually throughout the entire body, and was regulating all of our systems.
It's so exciting. You know, it's just like an adventure story, you know, these discoveries that are happening. And I should emphasize for our audience that you have a background in biochemistry. You have a degree in biochemistry, so you can bring the scientific perspective to this in such a clear way.
Yeah, I do my best to break down the science. I've been teaching for years, and so I've learned how to bring the science home so that people can understand it.
Yeah, no, you're very clear, and your writing shows that too. So you are a cannabis therapist, and you have a thing called the Certified Cannabis Therapy Consultant Program. What is that about?
Well, that is a program where people come and learn about the holistic aspects of cannabis. They learn about the biology and physiology of the plant. They learn about the biology and physiology of the human and animal systems and the endocannabinoid systems and how they interrelate together. They learn about both physical interactions and also the way the plant medicine can help with mental issues, emotional issues, and also provide spiritual connection. Within all of that, they also learn how to make every single cannabis medicine that you could make, and well, almost. And in that way, they understand how simple it is for someone to make their own medicine, and how much cheaper and easier and better. So I do have a chapter in the book, a DIY chapter on how to make your own medicine. The last thing they learn is how to interact with clients, how to listen, because it's unbelievable how many clients come to me with stories that it's the first time anybody's ever listened to them, the whole story, even though they've seen hundreds of doctors. So they learn how to listen. They learn how to provide all the options of cannabis medicine to somebody, because there are hundreds of different kinds of medicines, and each one has a different interaction in a different way. So they can help provide a client with basically a menu and ways to put together an individual cannabis therapy program for that client.
It sounds like an incredible specialization, an incredible specialty, because as you point out in the book, even though THC and CBD are currently the most famous and well-researched plant chemicals, you say they're just players on a team that includes over 140 cannabinoids and dozens of terpenes, bioflavonoids, etc. Wow, this is a complicated universe. And so it makes sense that you would start a course to help people, you know, find their way through it. Are you always discovering new medicine applications using some aspect of cannabis?
Yes, always. I mean, both through my research, but also I am a plant spirit healer and communicator. And so simply by communicating with the spirit of cannabis, I'm often discovering new ways to work with the spirit of cannabis and somebody else's spirit and have that interact and change things on that level as well.
So you mentioned the fact that you train people to how to counsel people as well as treat them with medicine, and you know, for the sake of mental health. And you have a section in a chapter in your book on this, and I'd like to get into it specifically related to anxiety, because the question is, how can cannabis help anxiety instead of exacerbating it?
Well, it's an interesting and complex issue, but we can look at a couple of factors around that. In addition to our central nervous system, which is our brain and spinal cord, we have something called an autonomic nervous system, which people believe controls the functions of our body that are not under our conscious control, quote unquote. So right. It controls the heartbeat. It controls whether your pupils are dilated or not. It controls digestive functions and that kind of thing. So often we find within anxiety that the two parts of the autonomic nervous system. So there's two parts of that system. One is the sympathetic nervous system, which is the one that contains our ability to fight, flight, or freeze, right? It's the one that gives us the ability to perform action. And the other half is called the parasympathetic nervous system. And we gave it the nickname of the rest and digest nervous system. So if you're in your sympathetic nervous system, which I think of as the stimulated nervous system, you're actually unable to rest or to digest your food because all of your energy is going towards getting blood and oxygen to the muscles and improving your vision and getting you prepared. So it takes the energy away from your digestion and sends it there.
So this is characteristic of what we call anxiety.
Well, yeah. So if you get anxiety is a healthy reaction. Anxiety will put us into that sympathetic nervous system, and it gives us clearer thinking, more focus, and the ability to act. It's not unhealthy in itself. It's a very necessary part of our human physiology. However, sometimes people get stuck in that part of their nervous system, and they're unable to return to the rest and digest nervous system, or the systems are out of balance.
Right.
So,
you mentioned in the book, or you have a stat in the book, 35% of adults have had an anxiety disorder in their life.
I have to say that due to society and due to the way that we are evolving as human beings, we have a tendency now to be in that nervous system, to want to be in that nervous system, and maybe be a little bit addicted to being in that nervous system. Hence our mass addiction to coffee and caffeine, which puts us in that nervous system.
In the news.
And other speedy kinds of things. So it's and also our workaholism, you know, the productivity, you know, you must be productive for 50, 80 hours a week kind of thing.
And listening to the news all the time.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's all about fear, right? So it's right. Just fear, 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 and that puts us in the thing where we want to react. So this is a huge problem in society as well as anything else. And in our culture, we don't have any spiritual tools to rectify that, to bring us back into balance, to rest and digest. Most people these days have shifted away from any kind of spirituality or religious practices that move you back into the parasympathetic nervous system. So things like meditation or yoga or breathing exercises, or religious experiences like rituals and ceremonies and that kind of thing. But it turns out that cannabis has an ability to shift us back into balance. So the main amazing medicinal effect of cannabis, if I can generalize, is that it always wants to move us back into balance, or what the doctors call homeostasis.
But you know, you also point out that it has a tendency to enhance whatever you're already feeling. I've noticed that. In fact, I've often told people that, you know, they say, well, I don't know why I get so self-conscious. I don't like it because I get self-conscious. And I say, well, probably we're self-conscious to begin with, you know, which is understandable.
Well, there's a couple of other things going on there. So one is THC, which is what has been the predominant cannabinoid in our cannabis for the last 30 or 40 years, because bless our breeders, that's the only thing they knew about. So they just bred plants that were stronger and stronger and stronger. THC, however, will elevate your heart rate. And so sometimes just the elevation of the heart rate, which is one sign of being in the sympathetic nervous system, will cause somebody to, it causes somebody to kind of go into fight or flight, because the brain is like, my heart is pounding. Why is my heart pounding? There must be something scary around here that I need to deal with. And even if there isn't, because in today's day and age, there usually isn't, your mind will find something. Right. And most of our can find something to be nervous about, to have anxiety about, or even to be paranoid of. So this ancient thing of THC or cannabis causing paranoia or bringing people into a nervous state is true because of that one and only one physical trait of THC. Now that we are breeding plants that have CBD in them, and we're breeding plants that are more balanced, where THC elevates the heart rate, CBD calms the heart rate. So these plants are very intelligent. They have ancient ways of balancing themselves out. And I discuss multiple examples of this in the book, everything from aspirin to heroin, about how if you go back to the natural plant, the plant has chemicals in it that work together as a team that prevent side effects. And that's true of marijuana as well. Right. So when you're working with someone who tends to be stuck in that nervous system, or tends to be high strung or nervous a lot, cannabis can put them there or keep them there if they don't understand what's going on. So when Right. we're working with people with anxiety, if they already have a little anxiety, like you said, cannabis may enhance that, because that's what it does. It enhances more of what you already are, or what you're already feeling. So when working with anxiety, we have to be very careful. We have to give people tools to deal with the anxiety to begin with, and we have to give them a very balanced cannabis medicine, in which case it can help tremendously with anxiety.
You know, I find that a low dose of edibles helps with my anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Every single person is different, and every single person has to...
But if I smoke pot, it makes it worse.
Well, you have to experiment a little bit, and it's a very safe plant to experiment with. But if you are beginning to experiment with anxiety, I would urge you to consider cannabis that is higher in CBD.
Yeah, I have a question about that. Is it, you know, I kind of automatically assume that cannabis, you know, the predominant component is THC, but like you said, that's what it's always been bred for. So my question is it possible to breed it so that it has as much CBD as THC?
Oh, absolutely. And you can breed it so it has more CBD than THC. And you can breed plants that have so little THC that now they're calling them hemp. And so you see a lot of people growing plants that are only CBD and very, very low to negligent THC. Oh. I recommend that. I recommend a plant that has as many different chemicals in it as possible. And I recommend using multiple varieties of plants so that it's kind of like your diet. You want to have a great diverse amount of foods in your diet to make sure you're getting all the micronutrients you need and you're not getting too much of one thing. It's the same with herbal medicine, is we combine herbs and we combine different strains of different herbs to try to get a full palette of herbal medicine.
So to cultivators come to you and say, okay, well, you know, we want to create a certain type of cannabis, and you know, we want to have a lot of CBD and we want to have some certain terpenes, and you know, do they come and ask you to help them blueprint that out? Is that I don't even know how any of this works, but it's interesting to me.
Yeah.
That there's this whole industry waiting to happen based on, you know, the use of science in order to treat different mental issues or whatever.
Well, first of all, herbal medicine is ancient, and so it's not a new thing. But so when you're breeding plants, you're dealing with the genetics of the plants. So the genetics of the plants, the plant DNA, is what tells the plant which cannabinoids to make and which terpenes to make and which alkaloids to make. So plant breeders have to find those plants that they want, the characteristics that they want, and they need to breed those plants together to create a seed line that will, or they can clone, if they find the perfect plant that they want, they can clone it. And that's the way that they breed plants. And it takes 7 generations of plant breeding to create a stable seed line.
I see. Okay. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left, and you assert very strongly in this book that smoking pot is good for you. And you give, like, you know, a lot of arguments to support that and a lot of facts. And so I just want to end the show today by asking you if you can, I mean, you also wrote in the book about few of today's Christians are aware that Jesus used cannabis and Moses did, and Buddha did too. This is fascinating. But we've only got a minute. Can you just leave us with some words of wisdom?
Yes, my words of wisdom would be to be as open as you possibly can to this amazing medicine and to all herbal medicine, because it's all there for us, and that it is the seed of almost every religion and spirituality out there. If you study any historic culture, spirituality, or religion, you will find cannabis at the root of it. And I do have a chapter in my book on that. So if you think that your religion prohibits cannabis, you might want to think again.
Okay. Wendy, there's so much more we could explore. There's so much to learn in this arena. And that's one of the takeaways that I got out of your book was, oh my God, there's so much potential here and so much undiscovered potential that you are helping uncover. And so thank you very much for what you do, and thanks for being on our show today.
Sure, I'm excited to be here, and thank you for helping to spread the word.
Now, I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is www.calliheal.org. Calli Heal, it's like California Heal. Calli Heal, CalliHeal.org.
And for absolutely.
And for those who might have tuned in late today, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. Now, don't worry, you can play and or share this interview whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Wendy Reed, author of Cannabis Therapy, A Complete Guide. And this is a really great reference work. I think every house should have one of these. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm every Sunday morning at 8:30 USA Pacific time. Even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com. That's spelled divination.com, as well as via iTunes, Paulo's YouTube channel, and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and podcasts. And thanks again to Wendy Reed and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
What is climate change? How is it affecting our lives? And what can we do about it? We'll connect the dots from energy to extreme weather, public health, and more. I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz,